Our gospel reading today is from the third chapter of Luke. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form, like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. I don't see any kids hiding anywhere. So you get to hear a little bit about what I would have told them, since I have this box in front of me. So I was thinking about Earth, and us as creatures, and then I saw online Chihuly, Dale Chihuly, that's his first name, you know, in Tacoma, the glass museum, and so I started thinking about glasses, and what I talked with the kids this morning is, you know, how are glasses made? What are they made out of? Do you know? Yeah, sand, right. Sand. I've got some sand in here. Big thing of sand is basic old sand. And when you make it hot enough, it becomes molten and you can transform it into a glass that looks like this. And then I had, you know, most of us maybe were in the second half of our lives. So maybe you feel like an old used, kind of smells like pickles, mason jar maybe. That's how you're feeling. But we all are, you know, created differently. This is, a Mickey Mouse glass. That's a good one. And then, what else do I have in here? I have where we got these from. Little tiny, maybe a sherry glass? Is that what this is? I'm not sure. What's that? Quarto glass. Cordial glass. We have them, I don't know what it is, but it's a small little thing. And it's about the size of a kid, it looks like. And then you can sometimes make, and I don't know if you can, how do you make crystal? Does anybody know how that's made? They didn't know that in the first service either. Sort of like glass, the same kind of way? Yeah? So so you add lead to that's what adds the makes it give it this heavier feeling, because I think this is crystal and it's a bell, you know, it's an upside down glass. It's a bell. And I said everyone is created with a voice, you know, all of us. Even I gave the example of Helen Keller. She had a voice of some kind, an extremely powerful voice, and she never spoke. But we all have a voice. We're all created in these different shapes and sizes of glass. Now, why that matters is, and it gets back to this dust, this sand, this earth. That's how we started off. In Scripture, in Genesis, you have in one of the creation accounts, God took some earth, just some basic old earth, and said, "You are going to be a creature of God." And God added God's Spirit, forming us in the image of God. And Spirit is wind. That can be what Spirit means. Breath. And so, picking up this earth and making it a creature like us, a breathing creature. Now, if you're a creature that breathes, and it looks like most of us are here today, right now, which is good. When you're breathing, you know, usually it's hot breath. Usually you're warm inside. That's what it means to be alive. At some point, all of us are at least 75 degrees right now, probably internally. You know, 98.6 is the average. But that warmth, that can also mean fire, light, warmth. That's what we talk about when people are alive. They have light in their eyes. They have a warm heart. The breath of life. That's what it means to be alive. And so God, from the beginning, has used that, and Scripture has used that image of spirit and warmth and flesh and putting all those things together. That's who we are in the image of God. So God walked around with us in the beginning of creation, and then we made an error with a piece of fruit, and so God did some different things. And so fast forward then to Exodus, the book of Exodus, where the people of God, not Israel yet, but working toward being the people of God, are enslaved. And God said, I'm going to free you. God frees them, and then God is with them like this, as a flame. If you read the book of Exodus, that's how God is, this swirling, big, kind of mysterious, kind of scary mass, fiery mass. That's how God is amongst God's people. Then you come now to our reading for today, the New Testament. John the Baptist said there's going to be a guy coming who's going to straighten it all out and show us the way. And it turns out to be this Jesus. And John the Baptist says, and he's going to baptize with spirit and fire. What does that mean? And what does that mean for us? Because what it meant for Jesus and the Jews of that time was, Jesus is saying, God's not just in the temple anymore. In fact, the kingdom of God is near. And it's as near as, I'm going to come in for a hug for Pastor Beth. It's as near as an embrace like that. And he tells a story. Maybe you remember this story. There are a couple of kids whose dad had some money, and one of the kids said, I want my inheritance right now, because I'm going to go do some stuff, because I got it all figured out, life, you know. And so the dad says, okay, here's your half, you know, blessings. And he goes to Vegas, and he spends it all. I mean, it was a horrible mess. He just lost all of his money. He actually ended up literally living with pigs, Jesus says. And he was hopelessly lost and said, I'm going to go back, you know, tail tucked between my legs, to see if I can maybe work for my dad. And so as he's heading back, he kind of sees the farm down the road, and his dad has been waiting and waiting, and finally sees his son, and it's like, that's my son, and goes, and what does he do in the story? He embraces his son, the one who didn't do what we as parents would want any of our children to do. And Jesus says, that's what it's about. I baptize you with spirit, where God is not a fiery, scary thing, but God is like the spirit with us, intimately with us. And when you hug someone, oh, you feel that warmth. Fire can be warm, and it's light. It's not just something that makes glass, but there's warmth. If you've ever been around a fireplace, you know how that, you know, especially if you feel cool or cold and coming out on a cold day, and that's what God's love is like. That's how God wants to be with us. That's the kind of relationship God wants with us. So all of these things, all of these elements, it's so basic, Jesus says. We are dirt creatures, and yet we're infused and alive with God's Spirit. And that waxes and wanes, and you know, we may start off nice and shiny, and then the second half of our life comes, and maybe it's a little more faded, and we have a chip or two. But the thing is, the good news about the Spirit is you get filled. Every time you come here, remember that. Jesus is for you. That's what we remember in our baptism. We are beloved and forgiven children of God. We are filled. Hopefully you got filled with that. When you have the meal today and the bread and wine, the bread is for the forgiveness of sin. The wine is for the forgiveness of sin. To be filled and to be forgiven. And then to share it with the world. And that's the really new thing, especially in the Gospel of Luke. But that is especially what Jesus brings. That forgiveness is not just for the people of Israel now. It's for everybody. It's for everybody. Love your neighbor, every neighbor, not just your tribe, not just the Israelites, everyone. Because God is for everyone. Love your neighbor as yourself, that's everyone. Forgive, that's for everyone. That's what this Spirit brings. You're filled, and it's for the world. You've been warmed by the fire of grace. Now go and share it. And when you feel spent and you need more, come back. Be renewed. That's the power of what Jesus is talking about. That's the power of the gospel. And this is what he says. This is his summary. The first time he goes to church, well, it's a synagogue for him, but the first time he goes to church, he picks up his Bible, which for them was a giant set of scrolls. That's where they did their readings from. And it was not like we have the Old and New Testament. They had only Hebrew scripture or the Old Testament. And he unrolls it, and he comes to this section in Isaiah, and this is what he says. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And he said, and this is happening now. I'm fulfilling that. Watch. And then what does he do? He goes and he heals people. And blind people see. And people are resurrected. And like it says in here, those words of grace that they heard that first time in that synagogue are lived out. How Jesus embraces his neighbor and the world. That's what we're called to do. And that's what we're reminded of, especially in this season of light, of epiphany. Jesus is a light, warmth to the world, the whole world. Not just the tribe of Israel, the whole world. So come, he says, and be renewed by the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. And then give it away. And I got more for you. And if you need to warm up, I'm here for you. And then give it away. And that's our calling until we don't have light in our eyes anymore. That's what we're called to do. To receive and to give for everyone, for the world. Amen.